Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 14, The Lord's My Shepherd. 14. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have gathered us into the fellowship of your church. Help us not to swerve from the purity of worship. Help us to honour you both in spirit and in outward form. So may we be in true fellowship with all your saints on earth and in heaven. We bring our lives to you, Lord. We confess the inadequacy of our life, the ways in which we fail you, come short of the standard you have set us in Jesus Christ. Forgive us, we pray, for our failures in the various forms which sin can take. Renew our spirits and cleanse our hearts and minds so that we may be able to serve you in the coming days with renewed vigour and rekindled zeal. Lord God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted and thus can help all those who nowadays are tempted, guard us against the snares and temptations which constantly beset us. Strengthen us so that we may emerge as more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn from Junior Praise, number 227. Tell me the old, old story. 227. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, at verse 1. Proverbs, chapter 3, at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. A hymn from CH3, number 130, "Lord, thy word abideth." Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, at verse 41. "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." I met a friend at the swimming pool a day or two ago. Whenever he met me, he said, "You were not here yesterday. I was going to explain to you something about mobile phones." And without thinking too deeply, I replied, "Both of your statements are true." Two statements which are both true. It led me on to thinking of quite a lot of the statements of Jesus. Some of his statements have two possible meanings, and he intends us not to choose between the meanings, but to take both of them. This account, likewise, when Mark is telling us about the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Two possible meanings, two ways of understanding the story. We can take it just as a literal account of something which happened there one day in the earthly life of Jesus, and we can take it as symbolic. We can think of it as having a meaning for our life, about the way Jesus deals with situations which arise in our life. Either way, it is a wonderful and powerful account. Either way, it has power to inspire and uplift us and encourage us to go on whatever may happen. And we really ought to think of it in both possible ways. What happened on the Sea of Galilee that day? It seems to have been a place where those storms could arise quite suddenly and without much warning. At least one commentator has described the situation on the Sea of Galilee in a way which explains to some extent the sudden storms. To the north and the east, there were hills with narrow gullies between them. Down those ravines would come the rushing wind. When it reached the level of the lake, the wind would cause those freak storms. And all of this could happen sometimes quite suddenly. People sailing on the lake could easily be taken unawares. So this is surely the kind of thing which happened on this occasion which Mark is telling us about. The sea looked quite calm when they set out, but before long it had become agitated by one of those storms, so that the boat and its crew were in serious danger. Where was Jesus during this time? He was in the place of honour in the stern of the boat. It may seem curious to us that a small fishing boat had a place of honour aboard, but it seems that sometimes an important person might be on board one of these boats, and the boat had a special seat in the stern with a carpet and a cushion arranged. Jesus on this occasion was the distinguished visitor, occupying this place of honour. The disciples were the sailors. They were the experienced seagoing men. Jesus was content to leave to them the navigation of the boat. He was able to rest in the VIP place in the stern. But then the storm came. The boat was being swamped. They began to be in serious danger. The disciples had confidence in Jesus. They trusted him as he trusted them to navigate the boat in normal conditions. So they trusted him to deal with extraordinary situations such as this which had arisen. They awoke him and he duly calmed the storm. He also calmed the men, gently reprimanding them for their faithlessness. Their failure to use faith. It's interesting to note that in calming the storm, Jesus used similar words to those he used when he was casting out evil spirits. Quite appropriate, maybe, reflecting how the ordinary people thought about the evil spirits. There were evil spirits which possessed the mind of people. Similarly, there were evil spirits which brought about dangerous storms on the sea. So Jesus treats the evil spirits all the same way. Come out of him. Peace, be still. Giving the command. Restoring peace and order. We can marvel then at what happened that day on the Sea of Galilee. How Jesus left his men to it while everything was going ahead normally. How they came to him for help when things got really tough. How he dealt with the storm and with the fearfulness of his men. But there's more to the episode of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. There is the symbolism of it. We know that Mark's gospel was written principally for the sake of getting down in writing the record of Jesus' earthly life, and in particular his years of ministry. But it's not out of the question that Mark chose to record this episode because of its symbolic significance as well. It tells us something fundamentally important about the way Jesus deals with human life, even nowadays, how he deals with your life and mine. The disciples in the boat knew that when Jesus was there with them, everything was under control. To be travelling with Jesus, even in the midst of a storm, that was to travel safely. And so it is for people even today. So it is for you and me. As we go through life, well, we know that life has its storms to be faced. But with Jesus in our company, we can come safely through whatever form those storms may take. What form can they take? Well, for one thing, there can be the storms of sorrow, the sorrow of bereavement, for example. Nowadays, there are people who are known as bereavement counselors, specially trained to bring comfort and help to those who have been bereaved. When someone dear to us has died, I'm sure it can be comforting and strengthening to know that there is someone who cares, someone whom we can lean on, one who's there to help us through. But if we're true Christians, the comfort we seek is the comfort which the Lord himself can bring. He can bring it through the words and the support of other people, of course. But our need at such a time, no matter how we might express it or describe it, our need is for that which Jesus alone can give. He knows how we feel. He knows how to deal with it. In the words of Katharina von Schlegel's hymn, "Be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay from his own fullness all he takes away." The sorrow of bereavement. Other sorrows too. Jesus knows when we are experiencing sorrow of one kind or another. He knows how we feel as we're going through that kind of storm. And he's able and willing and present to calm us and help us through. The storm of doubt and uncertainty, when life's problems are weighing us down. There come times when we don't quite know what to do, don't know which way to turn, we come to one of the crossroads of life. Some crossroads are well and distinctly signposted, but we have to know the place that we're aiming for. Even well-intentioned signposts can be misleading or unhelpful if they don't mention the particular destination we're aiming for. That is when we need to come to the Lord for help. Human beings are naturally faulty. They land themselves in difficulties which they might have avoided. We are Christian people and we know to whom to go for help in the storms of doubt and uncertainty. The storm of anxiety, fear for the future, worry about what may happen, worry for ourselves, worry for those whom we love. Those are natural anxieties. I suppose none of us can get through life entirely without experiencing that particular kind of storm. And the answer is the same in that case as in all the others. The Lord Jesus Christ deals with the situation of fear and anxiety just as he deals with bereavement and sorrow and doubt. His voice is enough to calm the storm. His voice is also enough to calm you and me. There's no escaping the storms of life. Oh, we may escape some of them. It's maybe not every trouble in the book that we will have to undergo in the course of a whole lifetime, but we will not escape them all. There will inevitably be some of life's storms which will assail our boat. But if we have Jesus in our boat of life, then the final outcome is secure. When he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he also calmed the men. They'd maybe seen or experienced storms on that sea before, but they'd never before known the sheer spiritual strength, the power and the calming influence of the master who cast out demons from affected minds and who could just as surely take people safely through the storms, whatever form they might take. That's the message which comes to us loud and clear through our reading again of this episode in Mark's Gospel. It's telling us to go on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him, bring our troubles to him, no matter what they are, he can cope. He can help us to cope. And as he deals with our troubles as they come, he makes us all the stronger and able to face life. He is with us today as always, and he will be with us always as he is today. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 691, Be Still, My Soul, 691. Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, in response to your goodness, we bring our material offerings. Bless them, we pray, that they may be wisely and well used in the service of your church and kingdom. Give us the grace to yield to you also the service of our life. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness. We look at our life and see how you have blessed us and guided us, helped us in difficulties, supplied our need and forgiven our failings, for all the ways in which you have blessed us, and for your continuing goodness to us day by day, and for the assurance that our future is safe in your loving hands, we thank you. At this holy time especially, we think of your supreme gift to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. His earthly life, his resolute faithfulness in seeking that your will alone should be done. His courage in facing the ordeal of the cross and the sorrows and disappointments which earthly life brought upon him. We thank you for his glorious resurrection and victory over sin and death and all the worst that the world could do. Help us to follow him faithfully so that our whole life may be a service of thanksgiving to you, our God. We ask you, Lord, to bless and guide the church. Help the people who belong to your church to be faithful in service and strong in faith. Prosper the work which the church undertakes in your name. Be with those who are suffering in one way or another. Help them through their time of difficulty. Bless and help all those who are finding life difficult for one reason or another. Help us to be ready and willing to give help where we can. Bless those dear to us and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the great cloud of witnesses by whom we are surrounded as we go through this earthly life. People we knew and loved, and all who have gone before us, faithfully seeking to serve you with their earthly endeavors. Keep us aware of the great heritage in which we stand, and bring us to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, there are a few things to mention today. First of all, from the Friends of South Beach House, an intimation that there will be a daffodil tea at South Beach House on Friday of this week, Friday the 18th, from 2 till 4 in the afternoon. Tickets are available at £2, or it's possible just to pay entrance at the door. That's on Friday, 2 till 4 at South Beach House. Many people will now know that one of our older members and one of our elders, Pat Branigan, has died in Arran View. His funeral service will be held at Blair's Funeral Parlour on Friday of this week, also Friday the 18th, at 1:15, and thereafter at Hawk Hill Cemetery. We've been sent an intimation from the High Kirk, who would like to invite us to a special night on Friday, again on Friday of this week, the 18th. Our friend Suresh Venumlapalli, founder of India Village Ministries, based in Andhra Pradesh, will be visiting Scotland and making a special trip to Ayrshire. Suresh and Roja have been visiting Stevenson High Kirk for over 10 years now. India Village Ministries seeks to bring hope to the needy people in the villages of India. Some of you will already have heard Suresh speaking from past visits, and we believe you'll be encouraged and inspired and challenged. You'll be made most welcome. At the close of the meeting, refreshments will be available. That's Friday this week again, 7:30 in the High Kirk. At the close of this service, of course, today, we have our annual stated business meeting, and we welcome our interim moderator, Mr. Cairn Welsh, who is here to conduct the service. I keep on welcoming Cairn when he comes to our services, as though he were a stranger or a visitor. But he's not that, of course. He's a well-known and trusted friend. And welcome today, Cairn, for this purpose. There's been some mention, and there was a mistake which appeared in our church magazine, The Herald, about the Good Friday service. Let me just put things right. It's a little while yet, it's a fortnight away yet, that Easter, but the Holy Week services beginning a week tomorrow, Monday. As you know, we have services each evening in Holy Week. We combine with the Our Dear congregation for some of them, and with the High Kirk as well for the one on the Thursday. Now, the arrangements are these. On Monday in Holy Week, a week tomorrow, Monday in Holy Week, the evening service in Our Dear Church at 6:30. On Tuesday evening in Holy Week, the Our Dear congregation and ourselves each have a service. So we'll have one here at 6:30 on the Tuesday evening. Wednesday evening also, the service is here. Thursday is always the occasion when we join with Our Dear and with the High Kirk for a communion service. And it's this year it is the turn of the Our Dear congregation to hold that service. That'll be on Thursday in Holy Week at 7:00, and Mr. Cameron will be combining with me to conduct that service. Good Friday evening, the service is here at 6:30, not in Our Dear, as it said in our magazine. Here on Good Friday evening. So there again, Monday and Thursday in Our Dear, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday here in Livingston. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday at 6:30, Thursday in Our Dear at 7:00. There'll be further intimation of that, of course, as we get nearer the time. And now we close this service with hymn 782, Lord of Life, We Come to You. 782. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.